I'd like to learn how to do this.
You're fine.
Okay, I'll teach you.
I want to know how to do this because it is good. Good morning. By the time we're done with the book of James, I think we'll have read it out loud 4 or 5 times, which is fantastic. And so far, I have not heard anybody say, "Are they reading through the book of James again?" So that's been very good. It's been very good not to hear that. We are looking at verse 12 today, which is on the subject of taking an oath. Not just about being honest with yes and no questions, but being truthful in the big sense of being truthful. It's another relevant verse for us today. The devil has a pretty good grip on our culture and on the world. It's heavily influenced by him with billions and billions of people under his control. And because of that, one of the main characteristics of the world is lying. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said of the devil, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." This fallen world will have the characteristics of its father, the devil, the father of lies. Lying has affected everyone to the core because every person is a sinner and falls short of the glory of God. Sinners will always embrace lying. A Christian's sinful nature is always drawn to lying because sin is all about the father of lies. And because everyone knows that everyone has lied or is lying or is a liar, people have come up with oaths as a way to convince others that something that they have said or something that they say they're going to do, past or present or future, is the truth. They come up with this phrase, these oaths, to convince us, or we use them to convince each other. In a fallen world, it's a sort of a tool to get someone to believe you. In James chapter 5, so far, we've seen that when God's children suffer in difficult situations at the hands of difficult people, they can be patient and grow in patience through the power of the Holy Spirit with faith in the Lord and hanging on to some key truths about Jesus' second coming and who God is and what he does for his children. God's children are and can be patient in suffering because of God. Patience in suffering is a characteristic of the true worshiper of God. Describing the character of the true worshiper of God is what most of the book of James is all about. The true believer's character, their actions. And that's continued in verse 12 with the subject of being truthful. So let's pray and look at this one verse this morning. Father, in this world that loves lying, we're here. We live in this world, but we know we're not of this world. But we need correction. We need your truth to open our eyes to who we are, to what's going on around us, to who you are. So, Lord, this morning, I ask that all of us, you would make us humble so that we would hear your word of truth and that we would examine our hearts and our minds about our embrace of truth or our embrace of lying. Lord, we ask you would bring your conviction. Please don't leave us alone. Help us not to drift off into daydreaming about something else. But Lord, for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, would we be here and submissive to hearing you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We know that the culture at the time that James was written was all about swearing oaths, these elaborate oaths they came up with back then. And perhaps James brought up oaths because while in the midst of trials, the redeemed are tempted to take matters into their own hands, resorting to lying, to being deceitful, to abandoning the truth, resulting in not being truthful. And therefore, they resort to taking oaths to try to convince people that they are truthful. But the Christian is different. The Christian is to be different. We've seen over and over again that the words of the person reveal their heart. The true worshiper of God will be recognized by their words, not just by talking nicely about Jesus, not just by bringing up Jesus, and not just by praying before a meal, but in any and all circumstances, the true worshiper of God should be recognizable by godly actions and godly words lining up with God's word. In any and all circumstances. Not perfectly, we are still being sanctified, so not perfectly, but repentively. Repentively? Repentantly? You know what I mean. And that's why James keeps bringing up the tongue. The redeemed speak differently than the unsaved. And it's not just about not swearing and not telling dirty jokes. It is so... That way of thinking just reduces it to something that it's not. Oh, we as Christians, we talk nicely, which often means we don't say bad words, we don't say bad jokes. It's way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. The Christian speaks differently. They speak godly. They speak biblical truth. James 1 verse 26, the uncontrolled tongue is evidence of an unsaved person. James 2 verse 12 and chapter 3 verse 2 to 11. Those who have been set free by Jesus will give evidence of being born again by how they talk. James 4 verse 11. Christians speaking against each other is the same as speaking against God's word. So we can see how big, how broad it is. Those of us who are Christians, how we speak reveals who we worship. And it's much more than just not saying a few words or saying a few words. What one says is a big deal because it reveals what is in the heart. Truthful speech governed by God's word will be characteristic of the new creation in Christ. Now in James chapter 5, verse 12, after telling Christians to be patient in their suffering, the dangerous and beautiful tongue is again brought up. Verse 12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Above all, brothers. So what does that imply, this above all? Does it mean that above everything else that James has said so far in this letter, we should do what he says about oaths in verse 12? Is that what this means? You have heard me say all those things, but now listen to verse 12 and do this. Above all those other things, is that what he's trying to get at? That can't be, because that would mean making an oath is more important than being a doer of the word of God, not just to hear, more important than submitting to God. And those are the things that James has said to this point. And that can't be what he's meaning just with oaths. Do this above all those other things. This is of utmost importance, the oaths. Perhaps what James is doing here is summarizing personal integrity, godly character. Perhaps this is a sort of culmination of what he's already said about one's character in Christ, what a true worshiper looks like. And that is, at their core, the true worshipers of God, they love God, They love God's truth. They are new creations in Christ, transformed from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, and therefore they love truth. They don't need to make an oath. They don't need to convince someone they are telling the truth because they are people who love God, love God's word, love people, and therefore, in a world of liars, they tell the truth because they are lovers of the truth. They are in Christ. So James says, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, making some claim to validate what has been said or done or about what will be done and said, and calling on the greatness of something or someone as a way of guaranteeing the truthfulness of one's claims is unnecessary for those found in Christ. Well, I swear by heaven, as God is my witness, or I swear on the heads of my kids, and if I don't do what I said, may I be cursed with. All of that is unnecessary. Unnecessary, because the redeemed love the truth. Now, oaths in and of themselves are not bad or wrong. God's people throughout the Old Testament entered into oaths with each other. And God did as well, affirming that he would do what he said he would do. Oaths are not forbidden. But in Leviticus 19, verse 12, God said, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. So there are sinful ways of taking an oath. And that's what Jesus was speaking about to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verses 16 to 22. They had this system of making oaths that had varying degrees of binding authority. So swearing by the gold on the temple was more binding than just swearing by the temple. Swearing by the gift on the altar was more binding than just swearing by the altar. That whole system discredits the making of an oath, the taking of an oath, because it provided a way out of the commitment. It's like saying, yeah, I said that, but I had my fingers crossed. It's the same type of thing. Well, I just swore by the temple, not the gold on the temple, so I don't need to do what I said. Those degrees of being bound gave license to lying, to be deceitful. Oaths became meaningless. Words became meaningless. It all became a silly, sinful, oath-making system. You'll notice that James's words here in this passage are almost word for word what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 34 to 37 about words. There Jesus said, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Everything is made by God and belongs to God. The temple, the gold on the temple, the altar, the gift on the altar. If you take part in swearing by heaven or earth or anything else that's been made, you're swearing by God's stuff. You're bringing God into it. And in a real sense, you are swearing by God. And if you don't carry out your oath, Leviticus 19, verse 12, you swear falsely by the name of God. You profane, you desecrate, you defile, you dishonor the Lord. Temple or gold on the temple, it doesn't matter. The redeemed should not have any part in that whole system of making oaths because they are not into finding a way out of a commitment and profaning the Lord. They speak the truth. They don't pretend to be truthful by coming up with some phrase. The redeemed are characterized by loving truth. Their yes means yes. Their no means no. That's it. That is the truthful, trustable word. Their yes or no binds them to their commitment. That's what James and Jesus are advocating. Oaths are good, but be a godly person who has no need for an oath or for swearing, because there is no intention to deceive anyone. You're a godly, truthful worshiper of God. Your yes or no is more binding than any kind of an oath. That's what this is gunning for. One summary that I came across was, this is what it has said, that what Jesus and James are saying is, our truthfulness should be so consistent and dependable that we need no oath to support it. A simple yes or no should suffice. Our mere word should be as utterly trustworthy as a signed document, legally correct and complete. So in the ordinary, everyday living of life, the character of those in God's family is truthfulness. They stand out in this world because they don't participate in lying. They reject lying and embrace truth talking. Yes is yes, no is no. That's how we shine in the dark world of liars. Because we love God's truth, and we love people. That's the characteristic of the true worshiper of God. Now, don't sidestep this. I know what some of us do. We come up with scenarios in our mind, and we distract ourselves from reality. So we might come up with something like, well, what if someone put a gun to my spouse's head and asked me a question, and if I told the truth, they would shoot my spouse? Can I lie then, Edgar? Come on. Let's get real. What are you going to do if someone confronts you on the gossip they heard you spreading? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do if a company does some work for you and says, hey, if you just pay me cash under the table, I won't charge you GST. What are you going to do? Or you privately buy a car and the seller offers to fill out the paperwork with a selling price lower than you actually paid so that you can pay less taxes. What are you going to do? Or you get caught doing something you shouldn't be doing. What are you going to do in those realistic scenarios? Are you going to love truth? What's your character like? What will your tongue reveal about your heart before the Lord? You know, we are quite comfortable with lying, I think, from what I've seen. Christians have a way of not speaking the truth. So, Edgar, how are you doing? Fine. I'm dying inside, but fine. Fine. Doing fine. Hey, what do you think about what I did over there the other day? It was good. It was a good effort. It was good. We have a popular and strange phrase we use today along the lines of an oath. It reveals how okay that we are with not telling the truth. There are different forms of it, but the same meaning, and they go like this. Well, to be honest with you. Well, honestly speaking, or hey, come here. I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? What is that all about? Now you're finally going to be honest with me. Until now you've been lying, but now you're going to be honest? That's great. Thank you so much. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, because you are a new creation in Christ. Your heart loves God, loves God's truth, loves people, And therefore, no one needs to guess if you're a truthful person. Truthful not only to yourself, to others, but also to yourself. Like, we often lie to ourselves. We often don't face the truth with ourselves. We justify sin, saying it's not that bad. Or we play word games with ourselves when someone confronts us. Hey, I heard you called Edgar a jerk. What? No way, I didn't do that. And in your head you're saying, I didn't call him a jerk. I said everything about him is characteristic of a jerk. That's not calling him a jerk. So we play these kinds of games with ourselves, lying to ourselves and not being truthful. There are so many examples of that. Church, the tongue gives evidence of the heart. God's family is a family of God lovers, truth lovers, people lovers. And therefore, we are truth talkers for whom it's totally unnecessary to take an oath, because we simply tell the truth from hearts that have been transformed by the Lord, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lying is not a pattern of the Christian, not a characteristic of the redeemed. Lying is the pattern of the unsaved. They are just living out what's in their heart, a heart that rejects the Lord and embraces the father of lies, and they will receive what they've worked for, eternal punishment in hell with their father, the devil. Not lying, but speaking the truth, our yes being yes and our no being no, comes from being justified by Jesus Christ. We have been saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, set free from the slavery to sin. And then the ongoing sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, who through his power and through the Bible changes us, gives us discernment, renews our minds, grows our faith and love for the Lord. So church, examine your heart before the Lord by giving yourself this tongue test. Do you speak the truth? Speak it sometimes? Do you lie? Do you lie to people? Do you lie to yourself? Are you a new creation in Christ? We will be able to tell by your pattern of speaking the truth or your pattern of speaking lies. Listen to verse 12 one more time. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let's pray together. Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We are found in Christ. We see those, are reminded of those moments when we lie. And thank you that we're not comfortable with it. We're not okay with it. Lord, we want to stop lying. We want to stop lying to ourselves. We want to stop lying to people. We want to stop fudging little things, playing around with words to get out of things. We need your Holy Spirit to bring conviction. We need your Holy Spirit to lay it out for us so that we're not tricking ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, for the lying that we do. Forgive us, Lord. Our hope is in you, in your changing work in our hearts, that lying will be less and less attractive to us, that we will be truth talkers. And in that speaking of truth, speaking truth to each other and to ourselves, we will do it with love, with care, with respect. We will do it in a godly way, in an honoring way to you. Lord, let us at Calvary Baptist Church, let us be known as people who speak the truth, that what we say will be done. That when we say something to someone, they'll immediately go, "Oh, well, so-and-so said."